This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, Mondays, 8 a.m. sharp, right on the money. Coach is ready to roll. It's time to bring in Seth Greenberg, see what's going on, because there is a big one tonight in the ACC. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How was your weekend? Life good?
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Very nice.
Wow, that's good, Pack. That's good for you, because you're usually a little grumpy on Monday mornings.
No. Not at all. I'm playing hurt a little bit, so I'm just kind of grinding through this.
Oh,
so,
here we go, Seth.
Kind of
here
grinding.
We go.
You're sitting Seth, and talking.
Seth, he's
dude,
going to see a doctor today about his knee.
Well, I got a little knee issue, so at times I'm over here going back and forth, and I'll get a little pain that goes right up my spine every now and then. So I just gotta keep you honest.
His knee affects his. It's a tough thing.
Yeah, well, you got to play hurt sometimes. But I know this much: Friday night, listen to music. That's great. You're gonna get the violins out for me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they got the music out for you. Yeah. We're concerned, but I mean, Seth, I've already
concerned.
Said what happens
hurt.
If they call for a replacement. Happens if it's really serious, Pack?
I'm like Josh. Yeah. I'm like Josh Pastner's backup shield. It doesn't exist. You know what? You just got to play hurt sometimes. Hey, by the way, hey, Coach, how about that game Friday night? How about that Nate Horton guy making it from like 45 feet for the win?
Called guy, your guy Nate Horton. Hey, did he call bank?
He did.
He did. If you're going to have a special year, you got to have one of those two of those plays this season. I mean, that's just the way it is. And on the other hand, Georgia Tech is, those close games have gone the other way. But, he's got to call them. How about my man right there on the bench? They're just jumping up and down. They think my man is just money. And then he just kisses it off the glass. Hey. Yeah. That is a great win. And Clemson's got as good a wins in that league as anyone.
Right.
As anyone. Forget about those games they got run. You see crazy things happen every single night. I mean, Villanova got run by Creighton the other day. They got run. But their ability to bounce back from those situations and then their ability to win some of these close games, I mean, they're going to end up a 5 or 6 seed.
All right, Seth, I want to jump to this real quick. Then we're going to get into Virginia, Florida State, too, because that's the marquee game in the league this year, and that's the one we know we're going to get. How's the committee going to handle some of these teams? I was just rolling through this. I mean, we got games where Carolina is 12-7, and I think they've played maybe 7 home games. They are 7-5 in the league. We don't know how many games they're going to get in the rest of the way. How in the world is and Pac said maybe the quad one, the quad two, all this. How's this basketball committee going to measure all this? Do we have a clue?
We really don't. If you looked at the way they seeded the top 16, you would say that they're counting quad one wins for sure, because Houston, counting quad one wins and basically using the eye test a little bit, because I'm like Houston at the 7, Houston's 2-1. Against quad one teams, 2-1, and one of their wins is at SMU, not really a quality win. So, I think it really depends on each individual member of the committee. Everyone has their own criteria how they're going to evaluate it. I think that it's going to play out because we've got 3 more weeks left, but I think that the unbalanced schedule, which is huge, teams coming off pause, how are you going to evaluate them? Which is, I think, just as huge, because you've seen like Clemson come off pause and struggle. You've seen other teams like Michigan yesterday win, or Florida State survive a game the other day against Wake Forest. I think there'll be a mixture of quality wins, strength of schedule. I think that's what the two things are going to be.
I agree with that 100%. And I think that's the way you ought to do it. It's not necessarily what the record is, even though you want it to be good. It's who you played, who you beat. I mean, let's get the best teams in the tournament. I think that's the way to do it.
It's like the Big Ten. It's like the Big Ten. You look at the Big Ten and you see a team like right now, Ohio State and Michigan are in top seed. Well, they could play literally 5 games in a row against teams that are in the top 10.
That's right.
5 games in a row. So, like, you lose some games, or like you look at West Virginia. West Virginia's 5-5 against quad one. Well, look who their losses are to.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that it, you can't count losses. You got to count who those losses were against.
Yep.
Bad losses are going to hurt you. I just because if you count the good losses, you've got to count the bad losses. And I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. And I think, not only do I think you're right, I think that's exactly the way you need to do it. I mean, I think that way it really kind of cuts to the chase, and you could justify any position you want using that criteria, because you can just say, hey, listen, you got to go play good teams, and you got to go beat them. And if you lose to one, hey, that's okay, but don't lose to a team in Marshmallow Tech. You lose to Marshmallow Tech, you're going to feel it.
Yeah, I mean, I think and that's going to hurt a little bit. That's going to hurt Georgia Tech. And Georgia Tech is way on the outside looking in right now, but it's going to be interesting. Like, the biggest game of the weekend yesterday was yesterday, and it's not in the ACC. It was Loyola Drake, because if Drake lost that game, they were probably done because of the Valpo loss, because they weren't going to have opportunities. Yesterday, that Drake win was like a win in the semifinals of a conference tournament, because it kept them alive to play the next game. And I think that's what we're going to see a lot of.
All right, let's jump to tonight, because obviously Virginia comes in rolling, holds Carolina to 48. They win the ball game. Tar Heels don't even get anybody to double figures for the first time in 55 years, practically. Florida State has to get another open floor score by Scotty Barnes to get it to overtime to win their, what, Pac 11th straight overtime game, some bizarre stat like that. What do you expect tonight? We know what BPI says, by the way, and Packers very excited about BPI.
Go the other way.
But what kind of game are you looking for, Seth?
This game is real easy to analyze. I mean, here's the deal. I mean, I think Leonard Hamlin's going to have to go small. I don't think Balsa Koprivica has a place in this game very long, because you're going to look at Jay Huff, you're going to look at Sam Hauser. They're going to invert their offense, pull those guys away. And when they pull those guys away, what bigs can go out on the floor and defend them? I think that's really important. Number two, I think Florida State has got to be better defensively than they were against Wake Forest, because Wake Forest basically spread Florida State out, back cut them, and drove them by creating space. They've got to, you know, to me, it's going to be interesting. Their defensive discipline is going to be a challenge. And I would put a big, and they basically all have big guards anyway, on Kihei Clark and give no help. If Kihei Clark is the leading leads Florida State in shot attempts, that's the best thing that could happen to Florida State. If they lead Virginia in shot attempts, best thing that happened to Florida State, because that means they're staying home and running Jay Huff and Sam Hauser off the three-point line and Murphy. I mean, I think those three guys are the guys that Tony Bennett's going to try to move in the action depending on their matchups, all right, and create scoring opportunities for. This is a different Virginia team. This is a mover blocker. The thing is so spread. The court is so open, and you see right there, Clark gets to the rim. I'm not going to give him that. That's why I'm going to defend him with a bigger guy, but I'm not going to help off people and give easy scoring opportunities for others on kickouts. Kihei Clark, in my opinion, doesn't beat you scoring. He beats you by drawing a second defender, kicking out, and getting those bigs to shoot step-in threes. So I could see, like, Raekwon Gray at four. I could see Osborne at five some. I could see Wyatt Wilkes playing more minutes in a front court position potentially. That would be one thing that I could look for. The other thing is offensively, you know, can Florida State turn Virginia over? Like, Florida State turns people over 20% of their possessions by using their length, getting deflections, getting out in transition. Can you turn Virginia over? I think it's really hard to turn Virginia over. I think it's Virginia's a team that is going to pass and catch. They have floor gamers all over the floor. So I think that'll be interesting. Can the length of Florida State impact Virginia in such a way that they can get some deflections and get out and play ahead of the defense?
Coach, I mentioned to Wes last hour, as far as the ACC regular season is concerned, this feels like a must-win for Florida State if they're going to win the regular season, or at least tie for it. Because the way the Hoos are playing, the way the schedule is starting to unfold, the unknown of COVID, you fall behind two games and lose the tiebreaker, you can almost say adios to any thought. Not that this is overly important, because both teams are going to the NCAA tournament, but Florida State's got a pride of a sense that, hey, when people rattle off the blue bloods of this league, I love how Leonard says we're new bloods, right? And, but this is one of those kind of games. They've been great at home. Who's are playing out of sight. We finally get a marquee matchup, the fourth ranked versus ranked ACC game of the year. But if Florida State's going to finish first in the league, really, they must win tonight. Feels that way.
Without a doubt, because it's not like Virginia is going to have very many more hiccups. I mean, just the way it is. I mean, just the way their team is built. I think they've got Virginia Tech at home, which I think they'll make some adjustments. I can't imagine them getting handled in the second half like they were handled in the second half the first time. And the consistency of Virginia. I mean, I think that's the thing that people don't understand. Look, Florida State and Virginia, if you're going to mention North Carolina and Duke as the top of the ACC, you know, right now you got to mention Virginia as the best program in the ACC over the last 5 years. That's just the way it is. So whether you want to hear it or not, that's just the way it is. And you've got to mention Florida State alongside North Carolina and Duke. That's just the way it is. You might not want to hear it. Old school ACC fans might not want to hear it, but that's the truth. And they're doing it on the court. They're doing it by being excellent consistently. They're doing it by beating the teams they have to beat. So I agree that, you know, Virginia wins this game. I think they'll win another, and we say another, ACC regular season championship. They've been the most consistent in league play. They don't beat themselves. They don't give you second shots. They don't give you transition buckets. They don't turn it over. They get the shot they want. I've got a little bit of a rant. You know, I get a kick out of this. Like analysts, quote-unquote, former coaches, whatever you want to call the people in the media. Everyone kills Virginia on how they play because, you know, they own the tempo of the games, you know, embrace the pace. You know, one of the reasons that they embrace the pace is because you can't get a good shot until the shot clock's running down because you can't play ahead of the defense and they set their defense. But then the same thing, in the Big Ten, everyone kills Iowa because they don't play defense. Will people make up their minds? Like, instead of saying, like, well, Iowa, it's great, man. They run up and down, they shoot the ball, everyone shoots it, they score 90 a game. All right, everyone loses their minds because Iowa doesn't guard like Virginia. And then because Virginia is a good defensive team and you can't get a shot up, people lose their minds there. People need to make up their minds. Enough. Come on. Let's stop. Yeah. Virginia's basketball, the way they play the game, is really, it's beautiful basketball. They defend with a purpose. All right. They move the ball. They move people. They get the shots for the people they want to get shots, where they need to get them shots from. All this stuff about, like, they're ruining the game. They're not ruining the game. They play really good basketball, and they wait for you to make a defensive mistake, and then they get a shot. And you know what? In the end, the goal is to win the game, and that's what they do.
You know, 59
well done,
and
Coach
9.
Edwards. Well done.
59-9 in ACC regular season play in the last 4 years. Who doesn't want to sign up for that? Seriously, 59 up and 9 down. That is ridiculous. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And
all right,
you know,
we're going to come. Go ahead.
When we come back, I'm interested to see what you guys think about what's going on at Duke and some other of these programs.
Oh, look at that, huh? Seth teasing it. All right, that's it. Greenberg teasing up our show. I appreciate that.
Where is Jalen Johnson?
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to start defending. Okay. We're going to put the best defenders on the floor, get some easy offense, Coach. That's how we do it.
We're going to guard. We're going to get a hand up on the shot. We're going to do a lot of those things, Seth, when
and
we come back.
And if your knee hurts, you got to play. I know that much. If you're hurt, everybody's hurt in February.
It doesn't impact your mouth.
That's it. That's exactly right.
We're going to talk about the Blue Devils and the Clemson Tigers as well. Kind of how do they fit in the NCAA picture. We'll do that when we come back. Seth Greenberg with us always on a Monday on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Show number 321 for anybody keeping score. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. The coach, Seth Greenberg, joins us. All right, Seth, you've posed a question to us.
Wait.
What's the matter?
Wait. More than a coach, staff meteorologist for Packer and Durham, Seth Greenberg. Don't ever forget that.
Well, I mean, we're busy. Yeah. We're
going to get all ice tonight.
You're going to be like the rest of us. You're not going to leave your house for like another 4 weeks. That's the way it's going to work.
That's it.
Right, you posed
especially where you are, Pac. I mean, if it drizzles and it looks like it could be snow,
forget
they
it.
Shut it down.
I know. I've lived it. We're used to the North Carolina fear of snow. It's amazing how we operate just under the premise that there's a snowflake spotted within 200 miles in of anybody. We shut it down. All right. You posed a question to us regarding Jalen Johnson and Duke and so forth. I will tell you, as I mentioned earlier today on the show, I thought Duke defensively looked much more aggressive and involved early against NC State. And they just took the Wolfpack in. I know State's got issues, but I thought just the intensity of their defense looked like night and day versus the back-to-back 90 spots they put up with Notre Dame and North Carolina.
Yeah, it did. I mean, the first half, I thought they really guarded. I mean, it was attached that they made shots, and when they made shots, they were more energized defensively. And that's great that they guarded for a half, but the second half, they gave them 32 points and got outscored. Now, that's human nature because they were winning comfortably. I thought they were more active in the first half. I thought they were active in gaps. I thought they got deflections. I thought the pressure on the ball was good. They didn't give up as many straight-line drives. And that's great. But now they got to do it consistently. Anyone can do something once. You can do something for a half. Young teams, how long can you maintain an intensity? How long can you sit in a stance? How long can you be alert off the basketball? How long can you fight through screens? It's easy to pull plays in any game showing a team in a stance for a possession or two. Now, NC State struggles. Let's face it. They're struggling right now. They're not a good offensive team unless they can turn you over. So, I mean, I think that it was a step forward. There's no doubt about it. I think that Williams gives him a front court guy that can block a shot, which helps, which enables you to even try to put more pressure on the ball. They guarded the ball better. Their closeouts were longer and tighter with their hands above the ball. All those things, as you grade a game film, were improved. Mm-hmm. Was it the opponent or was it their effort? Was it the lineup they had on the floor? All right. And the effort combined? Was it that all of a sudden – it wasn't guys that just wanted to play one end of the floor? Was it because they took better care of the basketball? Was it because they made shots? Like those are things Mike's looking at today. But here's the deal. Your defense can't be attached to what you're doing. What made a miss shot. It just can't be. That's got to be who you are every possession. And if it isn't, eventually you're going to give up that 90-point game to Notre Dame. So – like, I'm more interested in the next game because right now I look at it, they played terrific defensively in the first half. Second half, they were back to who they were in a lot of ways. So they're basically 1-1. They're coming off a bad half of defensive basketball. That's my concern. And Jalen Johnson, the only reason I bring up Jalen Johnson, and look, you're going to put guys on the floor to give you a chance to win. I say Jalen Johnson because there was a game about 2 weeks ago where Jalen Johnson and Matthew Hurd at the end of the game took over the game and made plays to help them win. And I thought, well, you know what? End of games, they found who they want to play through. Since that, all right, those guys haven't been on the court at the end of games. And it's Jalen Johnson's fault. If I'm Coach K, he's turning the ball over and his defensive effort's not good enough. You can't play him.
Right.
You can't play him. If you're telling him we're going to be the hardest playing, toughest team, and we're going to compete defensively, we just gave up 92 games in a row, we're playing the guys that are going to sit in the stance and compete. Well, here's the deal. You can't play him. And when he goes in the game, he's got a guard. He's got to play hard. He's got to take good shots. He's got to take care of the basketball. And if he doesn't, I don't care if people think he's a lottery pick or not. See, the NBA draft is about potential, right? College basketball is about productivity. And productivity, right, part of that is playing winning basketball.
All right, let me centralize this to this respect. Duke's got to do what to get in. Win in Greensboro, win out, do what have you. Clemson, I think, is in.
Oh, they're in.
Where do you stand on the Tigers and their bubble, and where do you stand on, like, Carolina and their bubble? And is Duke a got-to-win-to-get-in type thing?
Yeah, I mean, like, I heard Corey Alexander talk about, well, you know, Duke, they still got a shot. If they win every single game and get to the finals of the ACC tournament, they'll be in. Well, if they win every single game, they're not the team that they've been all season, because they wouldn't be in that situation if they could win every single game. And a lot of those games are not created equal. Let's face it. You got to beat the Louisvilles. You got to beat the Virginias. You've got to beat, quite honestly, North Carolina and the Clemsons. Now, they have a win against Clemson. That's good. You can't have any more bad losses. Bad losses, like we said, absolutely destroy you. So Like, to me, I think Duke's got to win the ACC tournament. I don't see any reason okay. why they other reason why. Now, North Carolina's interesting. The Louisville game, I thought this stretch, Virginia, Louisville, Virginia Tech, that would determine kind of where I saw this North Carolina team. I thought they had to win 2 out of 3. Now, Louisville's been delayed. I don't know if it's going to be canceled. That's a big game. They got to figure out a way to reschedule that game. And Louisville, who knows who they're going to be? Like, how do you evaluate a team coming off a pause that's been on a pause, and now they're going to be like 3 weeks or 4 weeks? So, I mean,
right.
that game being canceled, now their next game, they've got a week before they play Virginia Tech. They cannot afford to lose that game because that's the opportunity. Not because it's, you know, they can't afford to lose one more game. It's the game. It's a game that improves their resume. It's a quad one win. They need quad one wins, and they can't have quad three losses. That's just the way it is. They're in right now. I mean, they're not in by a lot. I mean, the Virginia game didn't hurt them. Virginia was an opportunity. Now, the one thing that will stick in your mind if you're probably a member of the selection committee, not that I've ever been one. I wish I was, personally. But the one thing that would stick in your mind is how non-competitive they were. Like, here's the deal. Coming into the game, you knew that Virginia was going to move the bigs in the action and make them guard. You knew that Virginia was going to double the post big to big, right? You knew those things were going to happen. You know, but spacing is predicated by your ability to make shots. It's like a perfect storm. If North Carolina's not making shots, I don't care how big good those bigs are, all right, the court shrinks. And when the court shrinks, if it even does go into the post, those rotations to double the post big to big become 1 and 2 step rotations. And now all of a sudden you're really hurt. And then the other end, you know, they didn't have the discipline to guard. And I know that probably, knowing Roy the way I do, that probably bothers them more than their ineptness offensively. I mean, they didn't guard. They weren't alert defensively. They got spun. And their lack of discipline defensively is the thing. When you grade that film, you're going, like, do we practice? Isn't that what we talked about? Isn't we talk about we got to close out on balance? Didn't we talk about we had to help early? Didn't we talk about we're going to have our hands above the basketball? So all those things, as a coach, you're looking at going, that was a point of emphasis. And when a point of emphasis is not executed, that is discouraging.
By the way, what's your take on Mike Bray and Notre Dame? Every time they see the calendar turn to February, Irish get hot, and they've got a very manageable schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah, they got a manageable schedule, but that's good or bad. Because
right.
manageable schedule, they're not beating teams that are going to improve their resume. It's going to improve their wins and losses, but it's not going to improve their resume. And that's the problem. I think Mike's doing a great job with his team. And, you know, yesterday, what is it, Jogo? I mean, he comes in, he gets like 18.7 rebounds. And I've always, it's kind of funny, I always joke with Mike, because that dude just looks like a good player. I mean, like, he looks like he should be, you know, Ginobili or someone, but you know, he's too loose with the ball. And I think Nate Leshefsky's really gotten better. He's rebounding the ball. You see him there put the ball on the floor. He's done that better. He's not just a jump shooter. They won a game with Precious Hub really, you know, being nondescript. So, I mean, I think that's,
correct.
You know, the good sign, but they've got to beat the right teams. You mentioned Clemson just real quickly. And I think Clemson, look at their wins. Like, Clemson's in a good place. I mean, they got a Maryland win. They got a Purdue win. They got an Alabama win. They've got a Florida State win. I mean, they've got wins against good teams. So I look at Clemson. You know, I think they're going to be between a 7 and a 5 potentially, as long as they don't have a bad loss. And I don't mean bad losses by number of points. I think coming off pause, you can say that's just a loss. That's just a loss. That's like playing with an injured player. But how did they respond once they lose? The hardest thing to do in coaching. Here you're having a great season, and you get spun. And even if it's not a COVID year and you get absolutely blown out multiple times, one time you can understand, you know, hey, guys, we had a bad day. They shot it really well. We need to be better. I'm disappointed, but let's see what we can do the next game. Then they get blown out again. And all of a sudden, self-doubt comes in. And when self-doubt came in, I thought that Clemson showed their character. And they made some changes. They put Amir Sims more at 5, which makes him a tougher matchup problem. And they got back to getting stops and forcing turnovers.
All right. Seth Greenberg with us every Monday on Packer and Durham. Have a great week, Coach. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you guys.
All right.
Pat, take care. Don't forget, you're worried that it's going to pack your mouth.
No, we were good.
All right. Don't forget, you can catch Coach Greenberg with LaFonso Ellis and Jay Billis Friday nights on ACC Network. They're back in the normal slot, 8 o'clock this week. Bald men, not on campus. In fact, Billis has been coming from hotel rooms around the country. So they're definitely not on campus. LaFonso, Coach, and Jay, 8 o'clock right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. All right, sit tight. When we come back, we'll go to Tallahassee, and we're going to turn our attention to a team that picked up a nice win yesterday. Courtney Weber joins us. Florida State's women beat Miami. Looking forward to talking to Courtney. There she is. Good morning, and when we come back, we will talk to the young lady from New Orleans right here on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, ACC women's games from yesterday, Wes. We lost out, as we pointed out, on the worst of the weekend. We lost out on Louisville at Syracuse, which would have been a big game. Today you'd have had NC State and Notre Dame. However, we did have three in the books, thank goodness, yesterday. And here you go. Big win for Wake on the road.
Yeah, big win for Wake Forest. When you look at kind of where their postseason stands, Deacon's trying to make the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1988. Carolina winner and Florida State a winner. Which leads us to Tallahassee this morning. Courtney Weber joins us. Yep, making her debut on this program. Courtney, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You guys?
We are not bad. And before we get into hoops, though, I have to pick your brain on some stuff, because anybody that is born and raised in New Orleans, given my penchant for food, and I have spent a lot of time, I used to work at LSU, so I used to spend some time in New Orleans. I want to know this. If you said, hey, Pack, and again, can't say home cooking, because I know home cooking's the best, but if you're taking me out in New Orleans for a good night for food, where are we going? New Orleans. Is it one of the great food towns in the world? Where are we going?
My favorite is Copeland's. I'd probably take you there. There's a lot of different restaurants though. Like, you can't go wrong with a lot of them.
You know where I'm going to take you, Courtney, after you take me to Copeland's? The next day, I'm going to take you to Willie Mae's Scotch House. you been there?
No, I haven't actually.
I tell you what. If you and I ever hook up in New Orleans, it's on me. Even though I know it might be an NCAA violation. Maybe not. We'll split the tab.
That'd be right.
But Willie Mae's Scotch House might have the best fried chicken I've ever had. It's off the beaten path on the outskirts of town. It's in a crazy neighborhood, but man alive, it is phenomenal. But what a great food town. But congratulations on your success. We have you on here to talk hoops. That was a good win yesterday, knocking off Miami. That's all? I mean, has it just gotten that routine? I mean, Miami,
No, that was a really good one. I think every time we play this team, it's really competitive with the in-state rivalry. So just securing any win in the ACC is really huge. And yesterday was a really big one for us.
Yeah, no question.
Courtney, the game was interesting because it started off, you guys got off to a great start. You had a 10-point lead after one and then gave it back a little bit in the third. And that made the fourth quarter, or the fourth period, I should say, probably a little closer than you wanted it to be. So what did you learn about your team, even this late in the season, when you had to scrap and battle with Miami in that last period of play?
Miami's definitely a team that can turn up the pressure with their full court press. But I think this just shows how we're growing as a team, just being able to keep the lead, even when other teams go on their run, just being able to stop that run and secure wins. So it's really big for us.
Courtney, almost every day when Wes and I are talking about the ACC women's lineup in the standings, you know, NC State and Louisville have been consistently the best two teams at the top. However, it seems like there's six or seven teams right now in the league that get on these runs, and you're one of them that, quite frankly, you could play with everybody in this conference. And from a competitive standpoint, I mean, it's going to be kind of crazy. I know the quarantine's nuts and the COVID stuff, the protocols, and makes life difficult just to have a practice. But the competitive aspect of this conference is so good. It's got to get you excited for, number one, the chance to play, but also knowing that, you know what, every time you step out there, you're going to take on a really good team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, playing in the ACC, everybody's good. So every time we go out there each night, you know, you got to give a full effort to be able to secure these wins. And playing in the ACC is really fun. You know, we have fun out there every night playing these tough teams. And I think we've started to go on a little run. I think we're starting to know each other a lot better. And as a team, we're just gelling really good. So I'm excited to see, like, these next couple of games and what's going to happen.
Courtney, it was a big weekend. I mean, let's be honest. You guys beat Syracuse convincingly. Then you get the win against Miami. You have Georgia Tech and Louisville next week, at least on the schedule. And this has been a different year for you guys with Coach Simmerow obviously taking a leave of absence and Brooke taking over for the season. Now that you get to this part of the year, how much has this particular team come together based on kind of where you've been previously with Florida State?
I think as a unit, we've grown so much throughout this year, especially with everybody being in different positions that they were last year. We lost three big players, and it took everybody really had to step up in order for us to be successful this year. So I think right about now, we're just starting to, like, really gel together with these first couple of games. And I think we're playing, like, our best basketball as a team. We're playing real team basketball right now. Everybody's looking, driving, and kicking to each other and getting each other open shots. So it's just really fun playing right now.
Well, number one, you're fun to watch play. But I'll tell you what really interests me about your whole world is the fact that you are majoring in commercial entrepreneurship, which is right down my alley. So I want to pick your brain a little bit. Number one, what got you on this track? And give me kind of a big picture feel for, take basketball and put it on the rearview mirror for a second. Just say, we'll put it over here. From a business standpoint, what gets you absolutely energized from a commercial entrepreneurship?
I think for one, my brain is just always flowing. And when I think about, like, what I want to do in the future, like, my everything I want to do, like, changes, like, on a daily. Like, I never want to do, like, the same thing every day. So I think commercial entrepreneurship is just a really cool major. And since I've been in my major, I'm really loving my classes. And I'm excited to meet new people and, like, hear what their ideas are. And it's just really fun for me.
You know, the fact that you're so open-minded and gregarious, you're going to be great at no matter what it is that you do. And I love that because when I have a chance to talk to students, especially college students, I'm like, listen, as soon as you can find what you love, forget the money. Just forget the money a second. Find what you love to do. And I can just tell in your answer that was a great answer because you're like, every day is a blank canvas. Let's go out there and see what the world's all about and how in the world I can get involved and create cool stuff and meet people. That you're going to be incredibly successful. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I can already tell.
Thank you.
Hey, Courtney, as you kind of grind through this season, and I know it's been different. Everything about this season's been different. Do you think they'll, and we've talked to coaches about this, but you've been around it now to a point. What do you think stays? What do you think we've learned from a difficult year involving testing and flexible schedules and maybe thinking playing one team on Saturday, you end up playing somebody else on Sunday? I mean, what do you think we've learned from a player perspective that you think has got a chance to stay around as we know women's basketball on the college level?
For one, I know our team kind of motto this year is gratitude. And we're just thankful for every day we get to play basketball because it's not really given. You never know when you're going to get shut down. There's a lot of things that you can't control, but the things you can control, we're trying to do that. So every time we get to the gym, we're trying to work as hard as we can because we're just grateful to be in the gym that day.
Hey, what's up with the Tucker Center? I mean, the men never lose there. You guys never lose there. I mean, there's some magic going on there at home, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's definitely our fan base. We love playing at home. The energy is really good in the Tucker, and I think it's just an environment that the fans present to us. We're just winning when we play at home. So it's just really fun playing at home, playing in front of our fans.
Hey, I tell you this. We had Coach Brooke on a couple of weeks ago, and we ran some video from when she played. Now, she was a player, by the way, Courtney. every once in a while, does she grab the rock still and challenge anybody to make jump shots or anything like that?
That's funny that you said that. Actually, like 2 days ago at practice when we were like stretching, Coach Brooke was like shooting. I swear she shot for like 5 minutes and she did not miss a shot. So that is actually really funny. But every time we do individual workouts with Brooke, Coach Brooke, she actually like defends us. So when I'm doing my individuals and I'm trying to get to the goal, like she's actually defending me. So I think that's really fun.
That's great. Hey, I want to get back to your studies a second. And again, I'm excited for you because you're kind of, it seems like you're excited about seeing what the world's all about. With that said, what's been the hardest class you've had so far at Florida State?
I would say probably either one of my economics classes, or I'm actually in accounting right now, and this is pretty tough, so probably one of those two.
You know, Courtney, you and I are on the same page because I love the whole entrepreneurial flair thing, and I was an econ major, and accounting was a nightmare. I mean, I didn't speak the language. So you and I are on the same page. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you on the court. I'm even more excited for you away from the game of basketball because I think you're going to do great things. And again, if you and I ever hook up in New Orleans, Willie Mays Scotch House, I'm telling you. Place to be.
I'm going to take you up on that one for sure.
You got it. We wish you the best. Stay healthy.
Thank you.
Hey, Courtney, happy birthday tomorrow, too.
Thank you.
All right. Courtney Weber of Florida State. Florida State is in our women's basketball coverage coming up on Wednesday, by the way, Pac. They'll host Georgia Tech at 6 o'clock. And, in fact, you can get a women's basketball matinee here on ACC Network. Coverage starts at noon. How about that? Miami, Georgia Tech, presented by GEICO. That is Tuesday at noon. And then Pam Ward, LaChina Robinson will have the coverage for you. Then that night, we get you two more games. Georgia Tech at Florida State. And then at 8 o'clock on Thursday, we give you Syracuse, Notre Dame. So those games, Miami, Georgia Tech is Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, Thursday, we give you two more because we got all sorts of basketball on Wednesday. All that on the ACC Network streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, a recap of a exciting regular season finale in wrestling. Virginia Tech wins the duels. There's Sam Latone, a friend of the show. Coach Roby and the Hokies victorious. Back after this.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
In the fall of 1937, Lou Montgomery became the first black student athlete at Boston College. In 1939, Montgomery averaged nearly 9.7 yards per carry, a BC record that still stands over 80 years later. Despite his on-field success, Lou Montgomery wasn't allowed to play in the 1940 Cotton Bowl and 1941 Sugar Bowl because of discrimination laws in America's South. With his jersey retired at Alumni Stadium and a member of the BC Varsity Club Hall of Fame, Packer and Durham honor Lou Montgomery and all the black athletes that paved the way in the ACC as we celebrate black history, always here on ACC Network.
ACC Network. By the way, the conference announced their Winter Unity Week coming up February 20th, and it will be a big deal. You'll hear us talking about that a bunch on the shows coming up. Got that, Mr. Durham?
Looking forward to covering that and shedding some light on the history of the league and the impact that the young people are having who currently play in the league, not just on the field and on the floor, but certainly off the field and off the floor as well. We saw a lot of that in the summer. Talked to a lot of student athletes. Suspect we'll do more of that as Unity Week comes up. Man, we got to talk about Friday night.
Duels.
Virginia Tech's win over NC State 2 weeks ago set the table for them to win the regular season on Friday night against Pittsburgh, which they did 27-12. Their fourth dual meet championship in program history and their first undefeated season pack since 1956-57.
This was a big deal. This is what we have. We've had number one. We've had a great deal of fun talking about wrestling, right? We did last year, same thing this year. And the Virginia Tech NC State match, as you pointed out, 10 days ago was unbelievable. And you knew whatever was at stake. Listen, like you said, it set up the date on Friday for them to win the regular season. And they did. Maybe the only downside was, you know, Lewis's injury, given what happened there. But from a team perspective, the object is to lift that trophy, which they did. So the Hokies got the job done on that front. But the duels were so much fun. And the only thing missing, like we've said from day one, really from since March, are the fans, right? I mean, those duels on Friday night when the stands are packed are unbelievably intense. But a great, great year for Virginia Tech. And when that ACC championship thing gets cranked up with the tournament in about 10 days or so, 2 weeks, it's going to be go time, Wes. This league, as we've pointed out over and over and over, five teams ranked in the top 20, all legit. But Virginia Tech's the one right now holding the trophy over their head. But that tournament coming up in 2 weeks is going to be really, really good.
Yeah, Sam Latona, by the way, who's been with us last week, who got the decisive points in the win against NC State, finished the season 8-0. He outscored his opponents 29-0. Pack,
pretty good.
29-0.
Yep.
Huh. I'd say. Yep. Pittsburgh did have a highlight, by the way. Jake Wentzel, we told you, ended Mekhi Lewis's 29-game match win streak. Wentzel was up 3-0 when Lewis suffered the injury, and we hope Mekhi Lewis is going to be okay. But remember, Jake Wentzel had been with us earlier in the year on the program.
Yep.
Mekhi Lewis as well. This ended up being just a heck of a match. It didn't get very far before Lewis had the injury. But congratulations to Jake Wentzel. Dakota Howard of Virginia Tech had the performance of the night, 21-6. Technical fall in 5 minutes and 5 seconds, by the way, to kind of clinch things for the Hokies. NC State will host the championships on February the 28th, and we'll be keeping an eye on that as the teams head to Raleigh for the ACC Wrestling Championship.
Good stuff. I'll tell you, Jake and Mekhi, though, those are two stars. I mean, that was headliner material Friday night here on the network. And those two dudes now, that's big time. The league's good, man. That's the thing that's so, you know, we had Rock on the show Friday, and his enthusiasm. And the cool thing for us, Wes, is that the sport really is taking off. And the conference has done a great job in terms of saying, hey, listen, this is something we're in. And the teams that have said we're in are all legit. And I know Duke's putting together their program and so forth. But, man, everybody else and their brother are really, really talented and good. And that that tournament getting cranked up in Raleigh 13 days from now, I'm telling you, it will be intense. And when you have five top 20 teams getting after it, like I said, there's star power all over the place.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? Here's the other thing, too. And I know people watch our show on a regular basis, and we have discussed this. But for those of you just finding Packer and Durham the last, you know, 3-4 months or maybe since the fall started, the idea of a sport being showcased because a conference has developed a network, right? I think wrestling was ideal for the ACC network because of their willingness to say, okay, how about a Friday night window from a television perspective? It kind of fit into the schedule. And credit all around, not only to the league, but to certainly the folks with ESPN, the development of the programming for ACC Network. And let's be honest, too, the ACC was fortunate to have guys like Sean Kenny and Rock Harrison, who were already doing some of the digital platform work in that sport, to be able to then come to the TV side and give you the information, give you the entertainment, the knowledge, the working collateral, if you will, to make it successful. And it's been well received. And Mark and I talked about this. I remember conversations we had back on the old radio show that there were going to be sports that would take off as a result of the conference network, right? And wrestling clearly has been one of those sports, Pac.
Well, it's a combination of a lot of things. And you mentioned the broadcasters that handle it for us. And I think they do a great job educating folks that may not have ever watched a college wrestling match before. And you go, what is this? It's kind of like how I stumbled upon it a year ago. And then I remember texting you going, Wes, we've got to jump on board, man. This stuff's awesome. And and we've kind of gotten hooked too, like everybody else has. And then on top of it, the coaches and the student athletes are really good. I mean, really good. This is not just one of those, hey, I found a wedge in my garage and I hit a wedge 60 yards. I got it airborne. No, I'm talking about talent now. And we got five top 20 teams. And Virginia Tech and NC State really at the top of that list right now. But you know, between Virginia and North Carolina and Pittsburgh, you throw Virginia Tech and NC State into it, all five of them are legit. And like I said, Duke's trying to develop their program as well and get back. So that will be some kind of scene in Raleigh coming up on the 28th. And if you're going to see it here on the ACC Network, I'm telling you, you will be highly, highly entertained.
Real quick word about tennis, Pac. This indoor thing in tennis has kind of snuck up on us a little bit, the ACC's done an unbelievable job there, haven't they?
No question. North Carolina in particular has just taken it to another level, and we talked about the indoor tennis championship one was a week ago. Heels haven't stopped, man. They're still rocking. And, you know, we're starting to roll into spring. I know we're in the middle of February. It's been dreary, nasty weather up and down really the East Coast, especially where we are in Georgia. Carolinas have been soggy and wet and all that stuff. But, you know, softball, baseball, tennis, all this stuff's getting cranked. Golf getting cranked up. Again, we're coming to the end of a basketball season, which has been kind of crazy given the COVID stuff. But, man, spring's going to be awesome, and I can't wait. We got a little sample of softball over the weekend. Baseball is coming up, too. You throw the indoor, tennis, all that stuff, golf. It's a fun time, man. I just hope the weather gets a little bit better and we can keep making progress on the COVID front, too.
Congratulations to Carolina becoming just the second school ever to capture the National Indoor Tennis Association National Championships on both the men's and women's side, equaling a feat accomplished by Stanford back in 2000. We go to the Power Hour on a Monday, and the headliner is in place for tonight, 7 o'clock over on ESPN. We get Virginia at Florida State. Pat gave us an interesting stat at the top of the show today. There have not been many ranked-on-ranked ACC conference games, but this is the biggest one.
Packer and Durham.